Among Shakespeare's most visceral, most political, and disturbing creations, his Henry VI plays are most powerful, especially as they resonate in our contemporary world. Professor Holly Cate has adapted these chronicles of conflict between the houses of Lancaster and York, a period of simmering political intrigue. Professor Cate has begun her research in the adaptation in 1993. Her new play, Glory, is filled with visual surprises and choreographed embattlements, and is a first in a trilogy of plays to be adapted and performed on the Muhlenberg College main stage. In the second half of our show, we'll chat about a play that touches on what it is like for service members, indeed veterans, to return home from war, and the effect it has on their families. Combat Conversations, Families Affected by War, is based on real-life experiences and offered free to the public April 7th at the School of Nursing in Allentown. As a part of the Lehigh Valley Veterans Project, the play is produced by One Flight Foundation and Impact Theater of New York City. This is WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio. You are tuned into now Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host, Cate Scuffle, we chat today with playwright Holly Cate, theater professor, actress, and director, and we explore Glory, her new play. And then we chat with Jenny Pakanowski, the assistant director and member of Lehigh Valley Veterans Project, and actor Lynn Watson. The cast and crew of Combat Conversations is made up of professional actors and distinguished veterans. The project gives voices to the issues facing Lehigh Valley veterans community. But first, we welcome Holly Cate. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, George. Thank you, Cate.
It's great to have you here, and I'm so excited to see this production. But I was struck by how, 1993 or something you said you started working as? What was the spark? What made you first kind of go, whoa, there's parallels or something going on here. I need to address this and work with this material.
Well, the spark was totally accidental. I began work on this piece with my now ex-husband, who was a director in New York and needed a piece. And I can't even remember now why I reached for this particular piece. And we actually made an adaptation of Henry VI Part 3. And it was fun. It was an hour and a half. I like my theater on the shorter side. Glory is not quite that short. And we sort of got to the end of that and went, oh, that worked. And Shakespeare has a tetralogy that really begins Henry VI Part 1, and then goes 2, 3, and then it ends with Richard III. And we thought, just as a sort of creative side project, let's just do all four. We had begun to find a language for the first adaptation. And so we were doing that. And then in 1994, the story started to come out about the genocides in Bosnia and Rwanda. And Shakespeare's story is really about how a society falls apart and how almost imperceptibly that society falls apart. And I remember one of the first stories I read from Bosnia was about a family that had lived together next to each other for 70 years. And then with the fall of Tito, one guy murdered his neighbor for the cow. And I remember looking at that story and thinking, but this is Shakespeare's story. It's the same story. And so what began as just a sort of fun, creative side project, I was a professional actor in New York, I was doing a bunch of other things, then suddenly became this thing that I was grabbing onto much more tightly to try and understand the world that I was living in. And then it just stayed with me. And often the piece is huge. It was just simply unwieldy and too big to move forward with in New York. And I would set it down, or I would get frustrated, or I would be overwhelmed, and I would put it to the side, and then I would pick it up again. Definitely when 9/11 happened, I picked it up again. I find that whenever the world is melting around me, this is the piece that I grab for. There's something about the way Shakespeare can anatomize what's happening politically and also the conversations between the leaders and the people that helps me find some traction in my own desire to understand those things. So it's been a long, winding road, and I've gotten mad at this project and felt just totally ill-equipped to handle it. I always say I've definitely had times where I've just taken it and buried it in the backyard like the ashes of an old dead cat. Oh. And then something will happen and I'll think, I'm going to dig that up again. So
what's it been like then? It must be I don't know what the word would be, to have it come to life at Mueller, but also to have a team. You talk about support and resources, et cetera, that are suddenly there and available.
Oh, it's just been, it's been surreal. It's surreal. It's hard to describe. And I, until this happened, I don't know that I would have been able to even, I didn't see it coming in this particular way. But there's one particular battle sequence that I've had. I could picture this battle sequence in my head. I've had the music picked out for 3 years, and it's been on the page for even longer. And during our beginning weeks of rehearsal, I was working on another scene. Our fight choreographer was doing that battle sequence, and they said, oh, come over to this rehearsal room, Holly, and see what we've made. I thought, oh, okay. So I go over there, and they start it, and it was what had been in my head. Oh. And that for 3 years, just to see it. And it's a very complicated battle sequence with probably 15 actors, and it goes on for 3 minutes. And just to see it in front of me was surreal and very moving. And it's just been to have playmates and to have people who say yes and who ask more questions and urge me to make it clearer, make it more dynamic. That's what this piece has needed. And this whole process, start to finish, has just been a gift. And the actors have been fantastic. I mean, I think I finally stopped rewriting it. We just finished a scene the other night where I was like, ah, that's the scene. That's it. But I need actors to do that. And I need designers to do that. And I need creative collaborators who say, you know, Holly, that doesn't make that much sense. And I go, okay.
And you have some fantastic collaborators, I understand. I know Michael Chin, of course, is one of the
yes.
country's leading stage combat artists.
Yes.
Along with Matt Gill, who's a music supervisor.
Yep.
And truly, the rest of our all-female production team.
That's correct.
What a great bunch of collaborators.
Yeah. Matt and Mike are fantastic. Matt is a student. He's a senior at Muhlenberg. And then our set designer, Susan Zeman Rogers, and our costume designer, Greer Coleman, and our lighting designer, Christina Watanabe. It's just great to have an all-female production team. Mm-hmm. And I hope it's I have two assistant directors who are students who are women, and our stage manager is a woman. And I hope that all of the women involved in the project look around and maybe see a slightly different picture at the creative table than you normally see. And I think, you know, I feel, since I work closely with my students, I feel like I meet very strong, powerful young women all the time. I'm not 100% sure they really need these role models, mm-hmm. but I think it's important to show them that we're making something.
And of course, those of us who attend the Muhlenberg Theater constantly are aware that your Cardinal Winchester
yes.
is very enamored to all of us, Troy Dwyer. And how many people are in the cast?
20.
Ah.
I loved, there's two quotes in particular in the press release. I just asked Troy, who plays Cardinal Winchester, Troy Dwyer, said, it's like a really kick-ass first season of addictive Shakespearean television. Your quote is saying that I'm hoping that Glory will feel like the start of our very own almost cinematic Shakespearean miniseries. And I think it sounds like you're both referring to the sense of scale and immediacy and a kind of world that's not pretty Shakespeare, but a real blood and guts struggle for powers, politics,
yes.
all of that. That's universal. That's never anything but contemporary and ancient.
Yes, and and gripping and also important. I hope we'll start some important conversations. These plays were some of Shakespeare's earliest plays. They were really his entree into the court. And, of mm-hmm. course, I call them his crown-pleasing, crowd-pleasing plays. And a lot of what was crown-pleasing about them just has no resonance for an American audience in 2018. So part of my work as in my adaptation is to strip away what was really a lot of propaganda. Mm-hmm. and to put the accent on the crowd pleasing. And that turns them really into, there's an element of them which really they're Shakespeare's action films. Mm-hmm. And so they have that dynamic to them, but they're also hopefully asking some questions about what does it mean to live in a society that's at war? And what kind of relationship do we want to have with our leaders?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that our next guest will be dealing with vets and kind of the fallout of war. And I sometimes feel like, you know, it's as if the United States is at war. It's a military power, but we don't necessarily perceive ourselves that way. It's not the story we tell ourselves.
Right. Yeah. I one of the most arresting moments in the early rehearsal process on this piece was to have the whole cast gathered, most of which 18 to 22 years old. And I said, you do realize that we're at war. Mm. This is America's longest war. Mm-hmm. And just to see them all shocked, we just don't think about it. That war is totally invisibilized. And part of my journey with this piece is been to realize that if I press on it too hard and say, this is what this piece is about, it sort of slips away from me. So I have learned to back away from that. But I think that the one thing I have said to the cast and the company working on it is that this piece is going to be about bearing witness, and certainly bearing witness to our veterans and what does it mean to be a soldier and what does it mean to die for your country.
Yes. So I alluded, in fact, to that Glory was the first of a trilogy. We're looking forward to seeing the other two parts. Glory actually plays April 5th to the 8th, Thursday through Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 2. Of course, at the Empey Theater in the Baker Center of the Arts, Muhlenberg College. You know where that's at.
So please, folks, I would go to the website. It's only the 5th through the 8th. It's one weekend. You don't want to miss it. You want to get tickets. You want to see this. It's for mature audiences. And it's a world premiere. I mean, this is really exciting. Yeah. And congratulations to you for finding the partners for this journey.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really blessed.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Professor Holly Kate of Glory at Muhlenberg. This is Lehigh Valley Arts Salon, George Miller and Kate Scuffle. And we shall return coming up with Combat Conversations right after this important message.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm George Miller, and along with my wife, Kate Scuffle, we're chatting now about the play Combat Conversations, Families and Affected by War, based on real-life experiences. And we're chatting with Jenny Pekanowski, the assistant director, and the actor, Lynn Watson. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome, guys. Now, you're both veterans.
Yes.
Which is interesting. And the cast, so to speak, the cast, the group, the ensemble that's presenting this is made up, Jenny, you were telling me earlier, of both veterans or family members of veterans. And some have acted before and some have not. Do you want to share a little bit about how that was structured or how that's worked for you?
So in Theater for Social Change, we cast the veterans as civilians, civilian actors or family members this time, and then the veterans as civilians. So everyone gets a chance to feel what it feels like to be acting on the other side or as a different version of themselves. So it really makes the play develop because we have to have conversations in the room about this is a living, breathing script. So different actors can be like, well, as a family member, I wouldn't say that. So then we'll change the script. Mm-hmm. Or a veteran hears something that the veteran actor says and they're like, no, I wouldn't say that. So it makes it more authentic and truthful and real in the moment. So again, yeah, the cast is veterans, civilians, and family members, including two young boys. Eric is 17 and Heath is 14, and their father was deployed to Afghanistan when they were little. So we explore the ideas of what it's like to be a child of a veteran.
And how did the project, what's been the journey of the project? I mean, there's been, this particular piece grew out of workshops or meetings in the Lehigh Valley, gatherings?
Originally, the piece came out of Impact Theater in New York City, where we had a theater for social change there. Right. And we toured with it in colleges, at VAs, and it enacted policy changes for homelessness and suicide. And I saw the effect there, and I was in that project, so I was like, I live here in the Lehigh Valley. And I approached One Fight Foundation and the Lehigh Valley Health Network, and I said, would you like to see our play? And maybe we can make something here like that. So how the research is done is we have forums here in the Lehigh Valley to see what issues are most prevalent to the veterans. Instead of just giving them the New York City play to do again, we're going to make our own authentic play about the real issues facing the Lehigh Valley veterans and their families. Because so often the families' issues are forgotten or not focused on like the veterans' issues are.
So Lynn, as an actor and veteran, can you relate to some of these stories?
For being the mother, yes. Because I'm the mother and my son is returning from Afghanistan, it would be hard for me to just, the way it is in the play, I have to be welcoming my son home, but I also have to make him realize that life has changed. Life has moved on without him. Mm. So he's awful, very frustrated because of that. And it would be hard for me if I was coming back from war and I found out that my entire family just moved on without me. It would be hard to accept.
And so in the performance, and I want to remind our audiences, it's April 7th at 2 p.m. at the School of Nursing, West Chew Street in Allentown. There'll be a conversation with the public after the and it's that dialogue, is that sense of talk with the community part of the goal or part of the success of the piece?
I believe it's the most important part of the piece. I mean, the theater is beautiful and the script we've written is creative and relevant, but really when it comes down to it, it's leading us to create solutions of the problems facing the Lehigh Valley veterans and their families. So when we have the dialogue with the audience, we really want to hear what they think or feel or how they react to the characters in the play, so they have the opportunity to interview certain characters, the actors themselves in character, to have discussions, to have dialogues, and then to have discussions among themselves and start creating solutions instead of just talking about the problems.
And you have a particular role aside from being simply, as well as being the assistant director. Could you tell us how that plays out in performance or in conversation?
My role is called the Joker, and it's my job to make sure that people feel comfortable enough to have the conversations or also mad enough to express themselves within the conversation. Like, I help hold and facilitate the space so that everyone gets a chance to have their voice heard and not drowned out by someone who's a little louder or, you know, someone who speaks a little softer. I want to hear everyone. It's my job to facilitate the room so that the actors, as their characters, can be heard as well as the individuals in the audience. And sometimes we have thoughts and ideas that aren't agreeable with the other people in the room, but we want to hear everyone because that's how the difficult conversations can be resolved and we can have solutions.
So the play is produced by One Fight Foundation and Impact Theater of New York City. I imagine that has all come together through work from the Lehigh Valley Project.
And I was curious too, Lynn, before we go, is this your first time performing?
Yes.
And how has this process been for you? What's been your biggest surprise? Or
I have been finding out that I have emotions that I didn't know I had. Hmm. And in order to make my character believable, I have to make a part of me. I have to change into somebody else, only for a short time. But I have to become somebody's mother. And I have to be able to get my voice so everybody can hear it, because I don't have a very loud voice. And I have to project it throughout an entire room. So that's been kind of hard for me, but I'm getting better at it. It's been fun. It's been a little challenging making sure I know all my lines, but I like it. I've had fun.
And you've all had input, right? I mean, essentially, we were saying earlier, this is devised. There's a process here. Has everyone that we'll see performing or in the ensemble been part of that conversation of creating the piece?
Absolutely. The script is like, it's just been a living, breathing thing up until like this coming week. It's going to be set in stone. You know, especially the boys, you know, Eric and Heath Johnson, they have their input. Of, I don't think a kid would say this, or I don't think this is. And it's beautiful because it gives us authenticity and it gives us these beautiful dialogues about how it really is to be home with your family members. And then, you know, the veterans will argue that war scene's not authentic or that's not what would, how it would really happen. So how do we balance a war scene with theatrical components but also authenticity? So the room is alive with conversation and dialogue, and I think that's the most beautiful thing about creating the piece is the creation. But the production's beautiful, but the discussions in the room are really what brings us all together.
It also seems to me that it is indeed a support group as well.
Well, One Fight Foundation is a peer support group.
Yes.
So I approached them. I'm their creative consultant. And they were really open to this because it follows with the idea of having peer support. Also being having availability to therapy and other versions, but that idea of community and camaraderie is what I feel as a veteran coming home is what I wanted more than anything.
Mm-hmm. What a worthwhile project. Thank you both for doing it.
It's interesting, too. Have you, it's one performance on April 7th at this point. Are there other plans for this particular script reincarnation, or would you hope to offer it again in the future, or different? Is there other projects in the pipeline?
What we're doing right now is not only outreach for the show, but also for colleges or even the VA, anyone to pick it up so we can bring it to their community. Because not everyone's gonna be able to come on April 7th. Not everyone is available that day. But to actually bring it into the colleges, bring it into the communities, it's a very low tech piece so that we can travel with it with a little bit of sound, and the actors are mostly in black. And we designed it for that reason. That's what we did in New York City, so that we could just take it anywhere so it can be accessible to everyone.
I'm curious, this is just as an aside, did you at all videotape or kind of preserve or archive the process of creating it? Because it sounds, I'm sure it was as fascinating and revealing as the end result.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We have a female veteran on the. She plays a small part as a commander, but she's been doing videos and posting them as teasers.
Oh, okay.
So we get to see the piece, and we're like, oh, we got to change that. It's not accurate, or it doesn't look right. So yeah, there has been surprisingly the opportunity to see it as it goes along, and then the hundreds of different scripts that we've written and revised in the last couple months.
And it's been a couple months, the process?
Yes. Yes, it has. Yeah.
It's funny, if you look at the video, and then you see it from when we started to where we are now, it's a whole different ensemble now. It's we've all come together. It's kind of like a little family.
Again, the support and the sense of community.
Yeah,
it's interesting too, given that our previous guest mentioned that her students didn't perceive us as a country at war. It just speaks to perhaps, well, that would be interesting to come home to as a veteran, I think, not necessarily feeling supported or aware of that journey. So it's exciting that you're doing this in the Valley. We're so thrilled that you're offering this. What do you anticipate the performance and the conversation being like? I mean, ideally, is it different than the New York experience, do you think? You know, is the Valley sense of things going to be different?
Yes, I believe so. New York City can be quite liberal and really open to different conversations, but I'm looking forward to the Lehigh Valley perspective of if they think the piece is authentic, what kind of solutions can they come up with for their own problems, for their own community, and if it's accurate to them, and what can we do together, and how can we have the disagreements with resolution.
In harvesting these stories, have you come upon both a congenial and an angry presentation or story that you can come by?
Our stories are pretty much based a lot in the rage and the anger and the fear of coming home and things being different. being away for a year and then coming home, and everyone has moved on, not intentionally to hurt you, but because life goes that way. And even getting what was surprising for me as a female veteran is hearing the mothers at the forums that we did to do the research and their perspective and what it was like for them waiting to come home and the information that they received that wasn't accurate or wasn't even correct. Mm-hmm. Even as far as one woman thinking her son was dead and it wasn't her son, and then the information was leaked to her inaccurately. And so the trouble and the strife with that. So we really tried to fold that into the play about information and how the families find out stuff, and how the service members serving aren't informed of a lot of things going on at home. Told not to upset us, but really, for a lot of it's best for us to know what's going on at home and not be shielded from that until the moment we walk in the door and, like, here's the laundry list of all the really bad things that happened while you were deployed.
Surprise. We have something to tell you.
Surprise. So that's one of the big parts of the play, is the surprising bad news or changes.
Well, we do thank you for bringing this play to us, and the intent of it is only going to help all of us understand much better what war is, how to cope with it, and then how to cope with our families when we get back. So we've been talking with Jenny Pakanowski, the assistant director, and with actor Lynn Watson about Combat Conversations, Families Affected by War. April 7th is the date at the School of Nursing in Allentown on Shoe Street. We hope that you'll all get there.
And we can find more information on Facebook?
Yes.
Yes.
The
yes.
One Fight Foundation Facebook page.
Thank you.
Is the best resource.
Thank you very much for being with us. This is George Miller and Kate Scuffle for Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. And a special thanks to our technical engineer and operations director, Neil Eager.